This is a Locker Room production.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with another episode of The Dream Take, presented by The Dream Shake. Jeremy Brenner here, and tonight, this game is going in the history books, y'all, because the Rockets have dropped their franchise record 18th game in a row, and this is the 18th consecutive losing podcast we've done in a row. That's a record for us, Mike.
Yeah, it is. Jeremy, happy St. Patrick's Day to you, sir, and to all of our listeners out there.
Yeah.
This loss, man, I don't know how to feel about this loss. I have a lot of different emotions after this loss, if that makes sense.
Okay, and this is a debriefing period. This is a safe space, if you will. So we're here live on Locker Room for tonight's post-game show. We are going to alternate each show from Facebook and Locker Room. So last night, Mike was over on Facebook, so tonight we're over on Locker Room. So just to try to keep everything in the right space. So, Mike, just what is the first thing that comes to mind that's on your mind right now while I tweet out that we're here on Locker Room?
I mean, 18 losses in a row it's not to the faint of heart is the first thing I will say. The fans that continue to listen to this show night in and night out are to be commended for, because it's been a lot of the same analysis, you know, when we talk about these games. Is the Rockets lost another game tonight by double digits. And quite honestly, the Rockets were never in this game tonight. They never had a shot at winning this game tonight.
Yeah, but Mike, like, if you look at it this way, like, that's one way to look at it. And if you're going to look at it that way, you might as well not tune in to us. But we, I think, give a reason for people to tune in, because we look at each game not just for the score, but what actually came out of this game. And, you know, for a rebuilding team, I think that there were some positives tonight. It was nice to see Christian Wood out there. It was nice to see Kevin Porter get more touches and more, you know, on-ball action tonight. And there were some things to take away from this game, even though the result isn't exactly what we wanted to see.
No, absolutely. I mean, I'm not saying that the only thing to take out of the game tonight was the negative, but I mean, the first thing that came to mind was, if you're a fan watching this game, not necessarily me, not necessarily you, if you're a drive-by fan of this team, you see tonight that we lost by 14 points. You probably didn't watch the entire game to see that Kevin Porter Jr. had 25 points, that Christian Wood had 21 points, that Kenyon Martin Jr. had 13 points and 9 rebounds. The problem with tonight is Golden State had lost 5 out of 6 games. They were struggling. You and I, the diehard fans of this team, saw how far down the ladder this Rockets team is in the Western Conference.
Hey, they got a long way to go. They have a long way to go. But, you know, if you're not with me at 11-28, you better not be with me. You're not with me when we're, you know, 28-11, which will hopefully be sooner rather than later.
Oh, for sure. I'm sure we're going to get to the trade here in a few minutes for PJ Tucker, but that's my main takeaway from tonight. Is in his first game back, Christian Wood comes out with 21 points and 9 rebounds, and Kevin Porter Jr. had 25 points. The biggest takeaway for me tonight is a guy like Jayshon Tate is going to have to figure out how to fit amongst those guys, you know?
And like, that's going to take time, but the good news for the Rockets is they have time now. There isn't a window that they need to, like, cram everything in. They don't need to buy and compete for this championship window, this contention window, that they have been in the last several years. And when you're in that window, take advantage of it. And that's what the Rockets did for as long as they possibly could. But now that window is shut, and now we have to wait for the next door to open. And that takes time. And, you know, it's very foreign for a lot of us to see a team like this. Nobody, not even in the 50-plus years of the Rockets, nobody's seen a team lose this frequently as the Rockets have. So this is uncharted territory for all of us, and we're all learning how to watch a team like this together. And to be honest, I'm starting to see the game for what it is, and I'm starting to see the team for what it is. And I might be different than most people, but I'm excited about it. There are some pieces to this team that I'm really excited about. It was nice to see Christian Wood back today, and I think, you know, this, given that it was just only his first game back after not playing professional basketball for 6 weeks, I was pretty impressed with what he did tonight. I was impressed with Kevin Porter. And yes, they weren't going to win because half the team is still, you know, rookies, and, you know, they were in the G League bubble. So, of course, you're going to get, you know, a lackluster result with a team like Golden State that has, you know, three-time champion Steph Curry on it, three-time champion Draymond Green on it. Like, of course it's going to happen. So I wasn't surprised by tonight's result. And at this point, you should be surprised if the Rockets win at this point, at any of these games. There's not a game that I would put money on the Rockets for, even against, like, Detroit the other tomorrow night or Friday night. But the thing is, they're going to win a game at some point. Like, I'm not saying the Rockets are going to lose every game from here and out, have the worst losing streak in NBA history. Like, I don't see that for this team. But it'll happen when it needs to. I'll say that. And look, for a lot of fans, I know there are a lot of fans out there that say, hey, we lost 18 games. This gets us closer to the potential of the number one pick. And I'm sure everyone would really like to see that happened for the team, or at least to top four pick, which will certainly push this team further into the right direction.
Yeah. First of all, I think your article today that you wrote for the Dream Shake was fantastic on PJ Tucker.
Oh, thank you.
And I say that because I want to reference something that you said. And you put my name and you put Bill Worrell's name in the same paragraph, which I hold in very high regard.
Well, you two had the same opinion.
I look, and it's the same one. And it's that I want to escalate the rebuild as fast as possible. I don't want to be in a multi-year, you know, four to six-year rebuild. Because I think the Rockets roster, outside of what we've seen tonight, the pieces to build the team are there between Christian Wood, John Wall, Kevin Porter Jr., Kenyon Martin Jr., Jayshon Tate. Those pieces are there.
Well, Mike, when you say rebuild, I want to get further clarification as to what you mean by that. Does that mean 4 to 6 years of we're in the lottery, or 4 to 6 years of having a real shot at the title? Because there's a big difference between the two of those.
To me, the rebuild is complete when your team has spent multiple years in the playoffs. So okay, 2+ years in the playoffs where you have proven throughout the regular season that you're a team good enough to contend to be in the top eight of your conference for more than just 1 year.
Well, Mike, if that's your idea of a rebuild and you don't want it to take 4 to 6 years, I have some bad news for you. Because that is where this team looks right now. At this point, look, Cade Cunningham will speed up the rebuild if he's the guy that comes here in the offseason. But the chances of that, I don't want to make the fade for Cade crowd angry. I just want to be a realist here for a sec. The chances of the Rockets getting a top four pick right now, I think it was at, like, what, 52%? So that's the odds of us getting a top four pick. And that pick could be not just one, but 2, 3, or 4. And if Cade is only going to be number one, that means you have a 14% chance of getting Cade Cunningham. That means there's an 86% chance that they don't get Cade Cunningham. So the chances of Cade Cunningham being in Houston aren't very high. Now, it's a better chance than most teams, and we have the highest chance because technically the Pistons and the Timberwolves, the top three teams, will have the equal amount of odds for Cade Cunningham. So he has to go, you know, to somewhere. And I would love for that to be Houston. Don't get me wrong. I would love to fade for Cade and get Cade. But
there are other guys. There are other guys in this draft that...
Yeah, but Cade, look, honestly, Mike, if we got Cade next year, my expectations for this team would be at least the play-in series. Like, I really genuinely, if we're healthy with Kevin Porter, with Cade, with Christian Wood, and that's just, you know, that's not even counting who we would end up getting in free agency. If I took that team, I would think that we're at least a play-in team. But
can I give you the other side of the coin, though?
Sure.
If you end up in the top four and the Rockets draft Evan Mobley from USC, they're still going to be in the play-in tournament, at least.
So, that means that says a lot about Evan Mobley in your eyes, and that's where you see Evan Mobley. Now, I like Evan Mobley. I don't know if he's necessarily the best fit next to Christian Wood yet. To be honest, I haven't seen a whole lot of Evan Mobley's game to really be able to identify that. That's why I'm really excited about March Madness starting tomorrow or tonight.
Yes!
If you really count the first four as the start of March Madness. But so if y'all are watching March Madness, keep an eye on USC. See what Evan Mobley does. Keep an eye on Gonzaga. They're going to make probably a deep run. You can see what Jalen Suggs is up to. Keep an eye on Cade Cunningham, obviously. They have a real interesting tournament bracket down in the Illinois region. So it's a fun – I'm excited for the tournament. We haven't had a tournament in 2 years. So, but that's college ball. We're talking Rockets ball now. And I think it's time to address the elephant in the room, the P.J. Tucker trade. And so for this, I want to invite anyone up here that wants to talk about the P.J. trade, that wants to kind of give their take. We have some people here in our locker room, it's weird to say locker room, but I guess that's what it's called. So if anyone in our room wants to, you know, speak right now, you're more than welcome to come up and express your thoughts. Or if you want, you can throw down your opinion in the chat. But of course, this is all optional. It's all voluntary. You don't have to. But let's address what the trade was. Because it was a very complicated trade. There were a lot of pieces in this trade. So I guess we'll start with the Rockets acquired DJ Augustine and DJ Wilson. DJ Augustine obviously has, you know, Michael Brown ties, Hightower High School. And
thank you.
And then there's DJ Wilson, who's a 6'10 power forward, who's kind of fallen out of the rotation with the Bucks, but he offers size. And I knew Mike when I saw DJ Wilson come to Houston, I was like, Michael Brown's probably real happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, size. Look, let me preface this by saying, and I want to go on record as saying this once again, that the Rockets would not have had success that they did with in the past 4 years without P.J. Tucker. P.J. Tucker was a vital piece of this rotation. But it was his time to go. He did not fit what the Rockets wanted to do moving forward over the past 6 weeks, I'll call it, especially post-All-Star break. The second thing I'm going to say is the fact that the Rockets got what they got for P.J. Tucker is very surprising to me.
Well, maybe that goes to show you what PJ's value was. And how people see him as something more than just box score numbers.
I think it's twofold. I think it's that, but I also think you got a team in Milwaukee that is in win now mode, and they had to have a guy like PJ in their rotation, that they were willing to give up a little bit more than they probably would have at the beginning of the year. I think the writing was on the wall for Milwaukee that, Jeremy, let me ask you this straight up in a 7-game series. Before this trade, Do you think Milwaukee was good enough to beat Philadelphia in a 7-game series?
I would say no.
Do you think that they were good enough to beat Brooklyn in a 7-game series?
No, and adding PJ doesn't necessarily move the needle that much further.
But it moves it, is my point. I don't know how far it moves it, but now that you put PJ Tucker on a team with Giannis, Middleton, Drew Holiday, Dante DiVincenzo is having a good year. Bobby Portis is having a good year for them. Brooke Lopez is continuing to have a good year. Like, they have a good shot. Bryn Forbes is having a good year at the shooting guard position for them. PJ Tucker, to me, moves that needle for the Bucks in a positive direction, but I don't know how far it moves it is my question. But as a Rockets fan, I don't give a damn how far it moves it. This trade, for me, is a win for the Rockets. 137%.
Well, here's... PJ offers Milwaukee a lot of defensive versatility.
Yep.
He can guard at the five. If they play small, he can guard at the five. But PJ won't necessarily have that same burden that he had while he was in Houston playing the small ball five because he was the tallest guy on the court. Or one of the tallest guys on the court. He has Giannis that can switch on the bigs if needed. He has Middleton that can switch on the bigs if needed. He has, I don't know if Lopez and PJ are going to play a lot of minutes together, but in the case that they do, I don't expect Lopez and PJ to play a lot of minutes together. I'd expect PJ to come off the bench and come in for Lopez when they switch. So I would say, for me, like, it's good for Milwaukee. And the thing with Milwaukee is they kind of hedged their bets. They went all in with Drew Holiday to try to get him to keep Giannis here, and they did that. And now they have Giannis locked in for the next 5 years and throughout his prime. So they are now keeping PJ on. And PJ is a – like, they don't really have any more assets to go out and make a huge trade. But they do have – I think the assets to go out and maybe, like, they'll cut Kuric and they'll go get someone on the buyout market. And I think, they let go to DJ Augustine, who was their backup point guard, and they're going to need a backup point guard now. And, maybe there's a small deal there for, like, a Rajon Rondo or something like that for Milwaukee. But because they do need a backup point guard now, because DJ Augustine is now a Houston Rocket. I'm really excited that DJ Augustine is here. I know he's probably not going to, be here when the Rockets are contending. And, he does have a $7 million contract for next season, which isn't that much to begin with. But, I mean, he's here to – I like having a veteran here that can mentor KPJ. And also, I do have a – I know we talked about how I have a Mo Bamba story. I also have a DJ Augustine story. So, funny enough, it was the 2016 offseason, that major offseason where everyone got, like, ridiculous money everywhere. And I was flying to Orlando for orientation from Houston for UCF. I was UCF, came in at fall 16. So I was going to UCF with my mom, and we were on our way home, I think. Or no. We were on our way back to Houston. And I see DJ Augustine, and I'm like, that's DJ Augustine. I'm like pretty sure. And you know that feeling that you get when you see someone that you think you know in public life, and you're like, well, what if it isn't them? Especially if they're a celebrity. Like, and I didn't want to be like, oh my God, you're a celebrity. Like, let me take a picture with you. And like, I had seen DJ Augustine play in the Elite Eight when I was younger. When he was at UT. So I was like, I just wanted to walk up to him like, hey, DJ, like, I saw you when I was like a little kid. Like, I just wanted to say hi. And he's like, thanks, man. Like, I really appreciate it. And what I didn't realize, because I wasn't as big of an NBA like news junkie 5 years ago as I am now. But what I didn't realize is he was coming back after signing his deal with the Magic. So I was like, Why was he in Orlando? He was in Orlando because he was signing a contract with the Magic, and I didn't know it at the time. But, yeah, that's just a little tidbit. But I know you also have a DJ Augustine story or two, Mike. So this might be a good time to share that if you have it, or we can wait for another day.
No, I mean, when I went to Hightower High School right after Hurricane Katrina, he had transferred to here in Houston, out in Fort Bend. And I was actually in the gym. I was playing baseball at the time for Hightower, and I was just watching the first basketball practice that DJ Augustine had for the Hightower basketball team. And at the time, he was a junior. No, he was a senior. My apologies. He was a man amongst boys, right? Like, the way he plays the game, he has such a high basketball IQ that I've always been a fan of his game, right? And for, you know, fans of this show, you know, back when you and I did our free agency breakdown, one guy that you and I both liked that I brought up, I don't know if it was I brought up or you brought him up, was DJ Augustine. I thought he would have been the perfect replacement for Austin Rivers on this team. And you know what, man? Like, I'm glad that he's a part of this.
We put it into motion, Mike. We're the reason.
We did.
Rafael Stone did. Listens to us, man. I just know it.
No, I don't blame him, you know, because you and I have some of the you and I have some of the best back and forth, you know, in the city. But, like, this move to me, his contract is guaranteed for next year, and it's not guaranteed for the year after, which aligns with, you know, other guys on this roster that once his roster, you know, if they don't want to keep him after next year, that's fine. But I feel like he's the perfect role model for a guy like Kevin Porter Jr. Like, DJ Augustine has been the model basketball player in the NBA for a lot of guys. Like, he just plays the game the right way. He plays it hard. He plays it tough. He plays it clean. Kevin Porter Jr. can learn a lot from a guy like DJ Augustine.
I also think that DJ Augustine was, when he was playing in Charlotte, I think Steven Silas was an assistant there. Like, I might have my timeline off with that. I think he definitely played for Paul Silas.
He definitely played for one of the Silases. And I think that that was a part of this deal.
I think it might have been both of them.
Yeah, but Jeremy, I'm telling you this right now, and this is the last time I'll say it. I'm floored by the return that the Rockets got in this trade.
Yeah, so here's the thing.
You know,
look, on paper, it looks like a lot more. And before we go into the picks about this, Steven Silas was the coach in was an assistant coach in Charlotte from 2010 to 2018. And DJ Augustine played in Charlotte. I think he was drafted by them and was there from 2008 to 2012. So there's some overlap with Silas and Augustine. And honestly, you know, I think DJ Augustine signed with Milwaukee because I think he wanted to contend. But, you know, considering the fact that he's coming to Houston, he's very familiar with the area. He's familiar with Silas. It might, like, I think he might stay. Like, I think there's also a chance that the Rockets might flip him because he's a very, like, even in the next week, you know, like, they have plenty of time to flip him for, you know, with the salary, like, all that. So DJ Augustine might not stay in Houston. I hope that he does because I think he would be valuable for this team. But I think there is a chance, though, that DJ Augustine's stint with the Rockets might be a little bit short-lived. But going to the trades, like, I saw on Twitter, I was like, oh, PJ Tucker went for two first-round picks, which really it isn't. I can see why people would say that, but it isn't. So if we look at the picks for this trade, the Rockets send away the 2022 it's a 2022 unprotected pick from Milwaukee that they acquired in the James Harden trade from Cleveland. So the Rockets had Milwaukee's pick to begin with in 2022. They basically swapped those picks. It was a pick swap, basically. 2022 goes back to Milwaukee, and the Rockets get 2023. They get it a year further out, which I think is really smart because a year further out could be a year further away from title hopes for Milwaukee. And they also get the option, which they will certainly take, to swap Mike, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. So they get the opportunity to take the Milwaukee first round pick and swap it with Houston second. So Houston second is going to be somewhere in the 30s. And Milwaukee's first round pick is going to be somewhere in probably the late 20s. So they're only really getting a 10 pick upgrade. And of course, the contract salaries for a first round pick are a little bit different than for a second round pick. But now the Rockets have three picks. The Rockets have either their pick, which will end up top four, or they'll have Miami's pick. And then they'll have the Blazers pick and now the Bucks pick. So that gives them three first round picks to work with for this upcoming draft, which if you're looking to start a rebuild, that's good because the chances of the Rockets getting at least one of those picks right, hopefully two, and if we get real lucky, all three will hit. But the chances of that happening are really good. And not to mention, Mike, Victor Oladipo still hasn't been traded.
Yeah.
Sterling Brown has yet to be traded yet. Like, there are still moves that the Rockets can make. There's still a week left in this trade deadline. You know Rafael Stone's not done, and there's a chance that the Rockets could net another first-round pick in this draft or in 2022 or down the line that will set this team up for success down the road. And that, ultimately, the picks are what make this trade a huge win for the Rockets.
Yeah, I think that there's the ability that there's flexibility with the trades before the 25th, right? You know, you still have guys like Ben McLemore. You still have guys like Daniel House. The likelihood of Aaron Gordon getting hurt, getting dealt, has now been basically diminished to nothing.
Yeah, Aaron Gordon's not going anywhere.
Yeah, but, you know, you still have Daniel House, you still have Ben McLemore, and you still have Victor Oladipo. Like, all three of those guys could net you, you know, something interesting. And I think the guy to watch for, to me, in this trade is DJ Wilson. You know, DJ Wilson is, correct me if I'm wrong here, right? DJ Wilson, to me, I think is a very poor man's John Collins. You know, similar.
No, Mike, like, hold on. Or like,
hold on.
Broke man's John Collins.
Hold on. But DJ Wilson is a guy that you give him some minutes here, right? That in Milwaukee, he was only getting 9 minutes a game. I think
he's played 12 games this year.
But I think you could give him
garbage time.
But you can give him a lot more time here that he was going to get in Milwaukee. And and he's a restricted free agent this summer. If DJ Wilson can get some good run and show something, you find a 6'10 forward that you could put next to Christian Wood in a backup role. DJ Wilson it might be a decent little find as a backup forward. That's all I'm saying. He's a very, very poor man's, broke man's, you know, on the street like version of John Collins.
In debt. Like, John Collins.
He's
like,
a debt guy.
If John Collins is the NBA, DJ Wilson is like D2. Like, he's not, like, compared to John Collins, he is not close to him at all. We just saw what John Collins did the other night. Like, John Collins would be, like, a potential starter moving forward. But DJ Wilson's going to get a chance here to audition for a spot on next year's team. And he'll have 20 or so games to figure it out. And, look, hey, at this point, the Rockets will take anyone that they can get at this point. And I think if I had to say it right now, I would rather have KJ in that role. I think KJ is the real deal. I think that he can be that backup four. I was talking about it with my dad today. Like, KJ is the kind of guy that he's such a high energy guy that I don't think he's ever going to be like a true full starter in the league. But I think he can carve out a real nice career for himself of just like being that high energy guy off the bench that can get you like good 5 minute spurts of real solid rebounding, shot blocking. And the Rockets could really use a guy like that. And I would, you know, if him and DJ Wilson do check off a lot of the same boxes,
Sure.
But and if that's the case, then I would take KJ. And I hope that DJ Wilson gets minutes, but I hope that he doesn't take away too many of KJ's minutes, if that makes sense.
No, it absolutely does. I like the only reason why I bring up DJ Wilson and John Collins in the same breath is because they're basically the same height. They're
the same position. That's all that you can really like.
Correct. Right. Same position. DJ Wilson can be a really good depth guy for me. You know, he's the type of guy that you can, you know, stash on your bench, you know, that could give you some decent minutes.
If I'm putting money on if DJ Wilson's going to make the 2022, I'm leaning towards no. I just think that he'll get some run here, but I think it will become clear that KJ is a better investment at the position moving forward. And, well, maybe he's not the guy that he's competing against. Maybe it's Justin Patton. But
yeah, let me ask you this real quick. Do you feel like KJ could get some minutes at the three, or you think he's exclusively a four?
I think KJ is the kind of guy that is positionless in a way.
Okay. I think he's more of a three. I don't see him as a four. I see him more of at the small forward position for this team. I don't see him as a four. I think he has capability of playing the four. I love his athleticism, his springiness, but I would like to see more of his role being at the small forward position than the four.
Well, like in lineups where Jayshon is playing, like the Rockets aren't going to roll with a lineup of like Kevin Porter, Jayshon, KJ, DJ Wilson, and Christian Wood. Like that's just not a lineup that's going to happen. It's like KJ, I can see him like, because I think Jayshon is a better fit like next to KJ as a three and a four to me. I think that's what the Rockets are going to try to go with here. And the thing is, DJ Wilson was honestly put in the trade to match salaries. I like the fact that they were able to kind of get him because DJ Augustine is not going to be a guy that's here. Like at least they get a possibility of a guy that they can, you know, give minutes to and work with.
Bingo.
And in the case that he could possibly turn into something.
Yeah, so, and to me, what was one of the things that you were so high on when the Rockets hired Silas? His ability, not only you, I was as well, his ability to work with youth and develop the talent. Like DJ Wilson is a guy that I feel like if you put him in the appropriate spots, he's going to give you production. Is it going to be great production? No. But I envision him to be at his ceiling. He's a guy that's going to give you 8 to 10 points, 4 to 6 rebounds a game. And for a guy that you get as a throw-in into a PJ Tucker trade, if you can get that from him, that's a huge win for your team.
Yeah, and KJ Martin had 13 and 9 tonight. That's better than DJ Wilson.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think for the rest of the year, if you can find a way to get both of those guys on the court, especially if the Rockets are not going to acquire another center, let's call him a true center, right? Like DJ Wilson is not a center. DJ Wilson is a power forward. If that's going
to be... Yeah, but I don't know if we'll see him in lineups without Wood. Like if Wood sits a game, I could see him playing as the five, if you will. But like I hate using the word I hate using positions because most guys are really positionless. Like if you really think about it, like Kevin Porter Jr. is used as a one and a two. Sterling Brown is used as a two, sometimes a three. Jayshon Tate is used as a three, sometimes a four. There are guys that are strictly one position, like Christian Wood is strictly a five and Justin Patton is strictly a five, but very rare. Like this team, there are very few guys that only fit into one position. So I don't like using that term. Like I like the idea of positionless basketball because that's where the NBA is right now. It is, you know, it don't matter what height you are. It don't matter what, you know, what you were in high school or what you were as a kid. Like, You put five guys out there, and you put the best five guys out there, and you find, and if they are the best five guys, they'll find a way to make it work. And look, I feel like talking about DJ Wilson for 20 minutes is not really my cup of tea. I'm not as high on him. Like, I think he'll be a nice piece and it'll be nice to watch him, you know, play, but I'm not like, I'm not like, oh my God, DJ Wilson. Like, you know, we really got something here. You know, I'm not there. Like, I'm that way with KJ Martin because I've seen it from KJ Martin, and
right.
He's a younger commodity. He's under team control for a little bit longer. And, you know, he's exciting. Like, I'm still not over what he did last night against with John Collins.
I'm still not over it.
And yeah. I don't know if I ever will be. Like, that man is, he's going to be really fun to watch. And I can't wait till he does that in the dunk contest. Like, he's going to be in the dunk contest, Mike. He will win the 2022 dunk contest.
Yeah. The only thing I will say about DJ Wilson before we move on is I'm intrigued to see him play alongside Christian Wood. That's all I'll say. I think he would be a nice fit for this roster next to Christian Wood.
Yeah. Let's talk about what's next for the Rockets, because Jake is talking about rumors of the Nuggets being interested in Victor Oladipo. I know Kelly Eco was talking about some Rockets trade rumors with Michael Scotto today. So he thinks that New York is a possible outcome for him. I know Golden State's into it. I know that, you know, there are a couple of options for Vic at this point. And we're also seeing these rumors of Aaron Gordon wanting, like, the Rockets really wanting Aaron Gordon, which would also kind of eclipse the need for a guy like DJ Wilson. But that's besides the point. So, you remember at the last trade deadline, when the Rockets were like super, super locked in on Robert Covington. It was like for a few weeks, it was like the Rockets are interested in Robert Covington. And it felt like such a strong rumor that it felt inevitable. And it happened. The Rockets did what they needed to do and they made it happen. And with this, you know, I was looking at our Orlando sister site, Orlando Pinstripe Post today. And like reading like, okay, here's today's Aaron Gordon rumors. And it just seems like they have Aaron Gordon rumors around this time of year about every year that he's been there. And every year the Magic opt to not trade him. And they were kind of thinking, okay, well, that's probably going to happen again because that's what's happened before. And I don't know, but to me, at least maybe I'm thinking this just because it's the Rockets, but it seems like Aaron Gordon has a lot more suitors this year than he normally does. And with the Magic in a position that they are, like the last 2 years, they were competing for a playoff spot. This year, they're not. So it just seems like they have more reason to do it now versus later. And he's been injured. So, like, I don't know. Like, if I'm the Magic, I'm probably trying to field the best offer for him. I don't, like, but I know they really like him. Like, they did sign him to a second contract when, you know, when his first contract went up, and they didn't have to. Like, they really could have let him walk, and I don't think that the Magic would be that much different without him. But I don't know. Like, I think that Rafael Stone has been putting these pieces together for a long time now. And whether or not this deal can get done, I'm a little bit apprehensive. Now, if the Nuggets make a move, I think I saw something today. It was like RJ Hampton, Gary Harris and Zeke Nagy for like Vic and it was like what Vic and House or something, or Vic and Tucker. Well, it can't be Vic and Tucker now, but like maybe like a Vic and House, which I think if you're the Rockets, like I do think that they want a player for Vic, because I don't think that they want just picks for James Harden, which if they trade Vic for picks, like it, all Harden is going to do is just net you like 10 first round picks. And I think they do want a player for him. So I think that they would be willing to maybe part with one of their first round picks this year, now that they have three, to maneuver into a potential deal that nets them a player for Victor Oladipo.
Well, so a lot to break down there. I think what today proved with the trade of PJ Tucker is they value not only the draft picks, but also the young talent, you know, and moving their veterans, you know?
So, well, they had to move PJ. Like, it was – No, they had to.
For sure, but they got – however you want to look at a guy like DJ Wilson is he's still a guy that's going to come in here. And for – look, I mean, for the Rockets who have played, you know, a bunch of games here with only eight guys – you look at a guy like Tucker that was giving you no minutes since the All-Star break, and you acquired not one but two guys that can at least be depth for you. I think that's valuable. I think that's valuable.
No. At least. The Rockets need guys that can go in and potentially morph into their core.
No, no, no. I'm just talking about for this season. I'm not talking about anything beyond.
This season don't matter, Mike. This season, like, the season is about developing Kevin Porter, developing KJ Martin, developing Jay Sean, developing Christian Wood. That's what the season is about. It doesn't, like, depth of this season doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't.
Yeah.
Unless that depth for the season can turn into, you know, a trade chip down the line or something else down the line. But this, like, depth for this team, like, this team has no depth. There is no depth.
But that's what I'm saying.
They're not competing for anything. But the teams that need depth are the teams that are competing for championships, like Milwaukee. The Rockets don't need no depth. They're all injured. So they're going to play nine guys every night because that's all they got. Nobody's going to be sitting on the bench in DNP coach's decision. Like, it's not going to be like that with this team. It's going to be you just have a bunch of these guys and, you know, you play them. like that's why we're going to continue to see, like, a rotation of G League guys coming in and out. Like, I don't know how long Anthony Lamb's going to stay with the team. But it wouldn't surprise me if they want to swap him out for someone else because I feel like Anthony Lamb just isn't ready yet. He's just not fully cooked, and maybe he needs another year in the G League, or, you know, maybe he's just not an NBA guy. Maybe he's just a fringe guy. But I would like to see what Armani Brooks could bring. I know the Rockets are really like him. Maybe Traveling Queen, like
Go Cougs, by the way, on that one.
What?
Go Cougs on Armani Brooks.
Okay, yeah, but. Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, it's gonna just be like we're just testing guys out. The guys are auditioning for a spot on next year's team outside of, you know, the core guys they have now, KPJ, KJ, Christian Wood, Jay Sean Tate. The rest of the guys are auditioning for a spot on next year's team. Mason Jones is auditioning for a spot on next year's team. Justin Patton is as well. Anthony Lamb is,
I think this trade hurts Mason Jones, in my opinion. I mean, this is the type of trade that do you – now, DJ Augustine, unless DJ Augustine has moved, like you said, if DJ Augustine is on this roster
– I think he could get moved. I think
– No, for sure. That's why – like, get moved.
And if he doesn't, like, I don't think that DJ – like, I do think DJ Augustine might play a little bit, but to me, I don't think it really – like, if you really look down to it, I think that the Rockets would play Mason Jones over DJ Augustine. I think they would still give Mason Jones some minutes. But also, Mason Jones's rest of the season is still not up in there. He's still on a 10-day contract. They haven't announced if he's going to get a second 10-day contract or anything like that. And so, I think he signed that contract a week ago on Friday. So he's about 6 or 7 days into that deal right now. So
we're going to find out
over the weekend if he gets a second one.
What do you think the ceiling is for a DJ Augustine trade? I guess this is a two-part question. Number one, do you think if they move him, it's just him by himself? Or is he a guy moved in addition to a guy like Victor Oladipo or Daniel House? And what if it's a singular trade for DJ Augustine, what is the ceiling for a guy like DJ Augustine? Do you look for a young guy in return, or do you think it's a pure draft pick move if they trade him?
I think they would trade him to match salaries.
Okay.
He has a very interesting, like, sweet spot salary where he's making $7 million, which could be the difference maker in a trade versus not. So, like, for instance, if you're looking to trade, I mean, I'm trying to think of a guy that's, like, making, you know, like, if you're looking to trade for a guy like Daniel House, who's making, you know, about $3 million, and you're trying to use that as a potential, like, salary dump. Like, kind of like how the Thunder used with Myers Leonard today. Like, that would be where I think DJ Augustine goes. Like, I think DJ Augustine could get traded to a team that is just looking to get rid of somebody, and then you just drop them.
Gotcha.
And yeah, maybe they swap second-round picks, and maybe the Rockets get a better second round pick or something, or maybe they get cash or something, I don't know. But, you know, there is, I guarantee you some team will call and ask about DJ Augustine, because I think that he does have value as a backup point guard. He clearly, you know, by signing with Milwaukee this offseason, he definitely made it clear that he wants to play for a championship, and he never really has had that opportunity in his career. He's played for, you know, some pretty bad teams. Like, he's made to the playoffs. The only time he made it deep into the playoffs was in 2013 with the Pacers. But other than that, he's been a first-round exit four times. Like, he wants to go for a championship, I think. And, you know, maybe the Rockets will buy him out. I don't know. I think that they're going to try to look and see, but they're happy to keep him because he's a good dude. And, you know, I think either way, the Rockets have a guy like DJ Augustine. Math-wise, it makes sense. Basketball-wise, it makes sense. And people-wise, it makes sense. It makes sense. It checks all three of those boxes. Good trade for Houston in that regard. But yeah, the reason why you make that trade is to get the upgrades on those picks. And the Rockets should be thrilled with the transaction they made today. Rafael Stone, pat yourself on the back, homeboy. But I think this is a good place to park the rocket ship for now. Before we go, though, one quick look at Detroit on Friday. This actually might be a game, Mike, where the Rockets have a legit shot to win.
All right, so I've begged for a win the past, like, four shows. So I'm going to go the opposite way, and I'm going to say I don't care if they win or not. I'm just
– You shouldn't care if they win or not for any of these games.
Yeah, I think I'm here more to watch. I want to see the continued relationship grow between Jayshon Tate, Christian Wood, and Kevin Porter Jr., and KJ Martin Jr. Like, those are the guys I want to see more than Nate Jones. Who?
Yeah. And look, Mike,
I want to see those guys continue to develop.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people are in the same boat as you, that, you know, they want to see the team win. They're frustrated the team isn't. We're all frustrated that the Rockets aren't winning. Like, it's not like we're happy that the Rockets aren't winning. Like, if you watch the game, so you watch your team win. But, and it's been a long time since the Rockets have played games where you're expecting them to lose every night. So that's the thing, is this team is not about wins and losses. It really isn't. Like, remember a few shows back, I was talking about how this team has, like, somewhat of a rec league feel, where it isn't about the record at the end of the day. It's more about if the team improves and how the team gels and operates. And, you know, there are some games with entertainment value. Like, you know, last night, the Rockets kept it pretty close, and they could have pulled it out, I think, had they had a couple healthier bodies. But that's also another thing, too. The reason why this team is as bad as it is right now is because they cannot stay healthy to save their lives. And they have gotten extremely unlucky with the injury bug this season. And there's, you know, you got to control what you can control. And the Rockets have not had very much control this season. But what they have had control in is the transactions that they've made. And I think for now, the James Harden trade worked. The Kevin Porter trade has worked so far. The drafting of KJ Martin has looked really good so far. And I think this trade of PJ Tucker also kind of follows that pattern of things that look very promising for this team. So that the Rockets are doing what they can control, and they're doing it well. And to me, I would be much more concerned if they were doing things like that that didn't make a whole lot of sense. But everything that Rafael Stone has done so far has made sense to me, and I'm looking forward to see what he does next. And that's a good thing. That's a real good thing. And he's going to do something within the next week. So we will have all things trade deadline, all things Rockets over at thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. We are the Dream Take, presented by the Dream Shake, the TDS's number one podcast, because we are the only podcast. Thank you so much to everyone that came in on Locker Room today. We do half our show. Live post game on Facebook, recapping Pistons Rockets. So go check that out as well. And be sure to also follow the Dream Shake, the Dream Take on Twitter at Dream Shake SBN and the Dream Take. You can follow my co-pilot on Twitter, Mr. Michael Brown, at
BSW podcast underscore MB.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's just my name, JeremyBrenner. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. And until next time, go Rockets.